What I'd like to do is start out with two definitions of the word apportionment. And the first one comes from Wikipedia, which means distribution or allotments in equal shares. And what they're handing out to you is basically just a copy of our presentation today, so you can take notes or take those back to your congregation. The second definition of apportionment are some of the things that I've heard in the past 3 months on the job. This is a Methodist definition, things that I've heard. The first thing is it's a tax. And obviously, I know quite a bit about taxes, spending the past 11 years in the municipal government world. I understand what people feel about taxes, so I understand exactly what that means and what that is. The second thing is the first thing that's cut from the local budget. When money's tight, that's the first thing that's cut out. I've been the finance chairman at Fairview United Methodist Church in the past, and I understand exactly what happens at the finance committee meeting. So I understand where you are in that realm. And then the third thing, and these are things that I've heard, the third thing is money that's withheld to show your displeasure with either the bishop, the district superintendent, or any other thing or entity within the annual conference. So that's supposed to be in jest, but I think there's some truth in each of those. So that's what apportionment means, the technical definition, and then what I've heard so far is the Methodist definition. The next slide I'd like to talk about is what apportionments are. Basically, I won't say that the entire world revolves around apportionments, as that picture might denote, but basically apportionments are the only way that the annual conference has to fund health insurance and pensions. So basically, if apportionments don't happen, pensions don't happen, health insurance doesn't happen, and the ministries that the annual conference is trying to perform does not happen as well. The next thing, I'd like to spend a few minutes. I guess I've become educated on the process of fair share, exactly what the inputs are. And one thing that I've done is CFA actually adopted a proposed budget, I guess last Saturday or two Saturdays ago. And so what I've done is I've gone ahead and calculated the 2008 apportionments. So I won't give those in detail yet, but I have some of the statistics from that. And let's just talk about some of the inputs that are involved as part of your fair share calculation. Obviously, one thing, the host and annual conference budget. The second thing has several different fields, and these are reports that you're sending in to the treasurer's office, which includes district funds, some of your compensation, housing allowance and expense, and basically your church programming expense. So I believe in a couple years back, they actually took population or attendance or membership out of the formula, and now it's based entirely on those inputs with some of the expenditures that are happening at the local church. Another part that I'd like to point out is there's actually a 10% cap on any increase or any decrease in your annual apportionment. So those are basically the inputs that are part of your apportionment. Now I'd like to talk about the raw numbers. And here's a table, and I have preliminary down there because I'm not sure what will happen from this point forward, but the proposed conference budget, $15.7 million. The total church spending, $70.6 million. The unadjusted decimal, basically what that is taking the apportionments, or I'm sorry, the conference budget, dividing that by the total church spending, and coming up with an unadjusted decimal. And then basically because there's a 10% cap on any decrease or increase, that will actually roll back in and change the decimal percentage. So on the next slide, I have your formula for you. So the adjusted decimal is roughly 24.5%. And you can take your 2006 table 2 and plug that number in if you're really dying to know what your 2008 apportionments are. So basically those are the inputs. The next slide talks about your formula. You're welcome to steal any of these slides you would like for your church budget presentations. But basically A divided by B equals C, and that kind of relates to the table on the previous chart. C adjusted for the cap, up or down, equals D, and then D times E, which is your local church spending, equals what your apportionment is. So it's a fairly simplistic calculation once you know a couple of key inputs. Obviously, the annual conference budget, the total church spending, and then the adjusted decimal. And basically, I guess what I'd like for you to hear out of my presentation today is there's really three ways to reduce your local church apportionment. The first thing you can do is control the annual conference budget. That's something that you'll have an opportunity, I'm sure, with talking to CFA or at the annual conference. The second way is that you hope other churches drive up total spending so yours comes down. And then the third way is to reduce your local church spending as well. So basically there's three ways that you can do it. But those are three ways. Those may not be real good ways or real easy ways, but those are ways to change what your local church pays. Just some statistics here on 2008. Local church spending increased at a rate of 4.5% in 2006. And so if your church, their rate of spending increased at a lesser rate than 4.5% in 2006, and you should expect to see a decrease in your apportionments. Some other initial estimates, and I have to say, once again, these are preliminary numbers. I'm not sure what happens from here, but I just think it's important to point out some high-level numbers at this point, and the numbers may move just a little bit. But there's 584 churches that will receive reductions in their 2008 apportionments, and then there will be 317 churches that will see an increase. So just some information for you as you start looking towards your 2008 budget planning. Now I'd like to ask Sandra Davis to come up, and she's going to talk about financial results for 2006 and get into some more of the numbers for 2008.
Okay. I'm a lay member of the conference. I am a member of Faith United Methodist Church in the Knoxville District, but I live in Maryville, and I'm pleased to be here. I wanted to share some information before we get into our next slide about CCFA. I've been a member of CCFA for about 7 years, and just to share with you that we're a group of committed volunteers who are United Methodists that love the church and love the conference and love Jesus Christ. Sometimes our job is easy because we've got good staff people that help us along the way, and sometimes it's difficult as we work toward the budget and try to make tough decisions and preserve programming as we work with Ann and her folks. But we are concerned about what we're doing within our conference. Today we have some positive information to share with you. We've got some real success stories, but we've also got some information that we want to share with you that concerns us as CCFA. If you will look in your package, you'll see that all the districts and the percentages of payments that we have been receiving into Holston Conference. And I want to tell you, at this point, if you wonder what are my credentials as a volunteer, I work for the United Way of Blount County. That's my job. In fact, I was afraid I was going to be a few minutes late because I went by the office. But I've been raising money and allocating funds to programs in our community for a good number of years. I've been with United Way about 23 years. So I was thinking at the time, what gives me, what kind of experience do I bring to the Holston Conference? And quite frankly, the United Way operates a little bit like the conference in the fact that we get apportionments, we allocate those funds back out for services and for quality of life and for humanity and good causes. And so I know what it's like to raise money and distribute those funds. And I also know what it's like to think about collections. And I think about uncollectibles dealing with uncollectible apportionments and things like that. So I can relate to that in the church. I, too, have served as chair of our administrative church council. I've been a lay leader, a Sunday school teacher, all of that. I grew up in the Methodist church. And I can remember coming to the Holston Conference, my first time to annual conference, and being amazed at the programs that we had I had a good friend of mine that was a Baptist. She went to the Baptist church, and they were always talking about their missionaries and all that. And I thought, well, how do we have missionaries? But I soon realized when I went to annual conference how we were all connected. And yes, we funded missionaries and all of these programs worldwide too, as well as locally. I have to be a cheerleader because we have to do that. We do that, and we celebrate these successes. And I'm tempted to say, all those from the Maryville District, stand up and let us recognize you. But just look at who leads is the leader of the pack in this list of districts. It's the Maryville District, and we salute you guys. If you look all the way, they actually paid out 2006, 97.28%. And that's astounding. We thank you for that. Let's look down, though. As you go all the way down, you can see the conference total. You've seen that in the call paper. You know that we actually collected 88.3. You've heard that mentioned here today and why we're concerned and what we need to do. If you look along and you see the bottom of that chart, you see how the changes have taken place, and you can see your respective district that you are from. You can also see the five-year average. Well, in CCFA, when we start talking about, well, why is this particular district done better than others? You know, you could say, well, okay, they've had great superintendents. They have had superintendents that have really put this out in the forefront, and you've had good pastors that have shared this with their churches. You've had all this. But maybe you've got a laity like me that's been part of CCFA, and I say to that church treasurer, hey, don't forget to send in that apportionment. We want to be 100%. As we look at all of it, I would dare say it's probably all three. It's really a team effort with all of us in the conference. That means laity, clergy, all of us together that are trying to do God's work. And I think that's what we really want to stress today, is how we are working as a team to make this happen. The 2006 results, as we said, it was 88.3% lowest collection rate. We actually collected $35,000 more in 2006 versus 2005. We had 681 churches that paid 100%. Wow, that's great. That is great, because you are helping promote the ministry of our conference, and you're helping your fellow man. But the sad thing about it is we had 27 conferences that paid zero. And when you heard a minute ago that 50% of this comes back to your own church, hey guys, you all are hurting. We're hurting here. We need your help. We had a $1.8 million shortfall, and when we have a shortfall, what does that do? It affects the pension funding, the health insurance funding, higher education that's sacred to us, that we're proud of, and also our ministries. It pains us in CCFA when we do not have the funds coming in to pay the ministries that we had talked about at annual conference, that we have been so proud of. And when it's like your own home budget, if you don't have that money coming in, how on earth can you pay it out? And that's where what we're faced with. And it's sad, because when you start looking at where do you cut, what gets cut? Many times it's the good programming, and that's sad, and we don't want that happening ever again. The 2007 allocation of cost, let's look at this. You have before you, well, I guess that, John, this is when we want to review this chart. You've just got this in your hand. Please feel free to take this and share this with your church. We have had this at our congregation, and our pastor has made copies of this. Take it to your church council, to all the groups, because they can see exactly where does their offering go. And it's a nice graphic, but you can also see how much actually comes back to your local church. You might, in fact, be surprised. You may be thinking more, maybe going to the general church, or maybe going more to the annual conference, to the Holston Conference for administration, than actually is. So please review this. Over 50% of the cost for apportionments are returned to the local church in support of the local pastor, in the form of pensions, health insurance, pastoral counseling, Board of Ordained Ministry, church extension grants. And you can see how, you know how important those are to each individual church. So again, if you're not paying yours, what does that mean? Somebody else is having to help you, help share, carry your church along. As John mentioned a couple of weeks ago, CCFA, and again I mentioned those are clergy and laity that are volunteers. They gave of their time, they gave of a Saturday to come and talk about this conference and try to prepare a budget to be presented at annual conference. A lot of discussion on this. It's $15,736,366. And if you'll see the graph, you will see how it's broken down. Again, that was mentioned a minute ago. Pensions and health insurance are two of the larger pieces of it. The budget for 2008, we're expecting 100% of collections. And let me tell you, and you may think, wow, that's, you know, that may be pie in the sky. But let me tell you why we are doing that. As I said, I've been on CCFA for 7 years. Andy Ferguson chaired it before me, and really, if you're not aware of this, traditionally in the Holston Conference, we have clergy chair it for a couple of years, be president, and then you have laity, so it rotates like that. But anyway, we have struggled in prior years in thinking about, okay, what if you've got a history of 90% of collections that are coming in? How are you going to continue your ministries? How are you going to tell a disciple ministry team, look, go ahead and plan what you hope to do with this next year, but we're not sure if the money's coming in? When I came on CCFA, I was appalled, really, to think, how on earth can they do their work like that? How can they plan and do their work and do God's work in our conference if they don't know how much money they can spend? It's very difficult. It's like tying their hands. So what we've done, we did something bold a couple of weeks ago in CCFA. We had been budgeting in the budget a shortfall so that we wouldn't have to go back and cut these. If the money didn't come in, we wouldn't have to cut them so extreme. I'm talking about the ministries and any pieces of the budget that we could cut. So what we did, we eliminated the shortfall. Collections have been, if collections continue to be at 90% like they have been, the ministries will suffer. We've reduced apportioned amount by $100,000 over 2007. We've eliminated that shortfall that I mentioned of $400,000 in the budget for 2007. We have a 0% health insurance premium increase. These are highlights for the budget. The personnel costs, there were no new positions. There were $60,000, that's an increase in personnel cost. Operating costs, there was $140,000 increase in programs over 2007. So the bottom line on the total spending, there's a 1.96% increase in the overall spending of $302,193. The significant increases in support of the local church and ministries, this is critical. So you can see that we have been bold. It's not, you know, we've struggled before in trying to keep a 3% increase in the annual in the conference budget. And so to say, to come and say it's a 1.96 and this is what we're going to do, and you can see how we've done that, and eliminating this shortfall is going to be critical. That means if we as a conference do not pay this 100%, then we are going to suffer. I don't know if any of you all have been hearing this book about the secret that Oprah Winfrey's been talking about. I work, so I don't get to watch her, but a lot of folks have been talking about this book, and it's on the bestseller. But you know what that book deals with? It's expectations. It talks about if you're going to expect to do business the same old, same way, that's exactly what you're going to get. And if we expect that we're going to continue to get 88% or 90%, trust me, that's what we're going to get. So we're going to expect, and Holston Conference, 100% of apportionments paid to do the work for Jesus Christ. The notable increases again for 2008, personnel cost, $58,179. Pensions, again, $130,800. Equitable compensation, $10,300. General church apportionments, $158,568. Insurance, property, and liability, $22,500, which is a total of $380,347. There were some line items that went down. Some had the increases, but basically that's where what we came up with a couple of weeks ago with CCFA. Later, we'll be happy to entertain any questions and answer any questions, but we are going forth with great expectations for this new year. Thank you very much. Please take those home with you.
I am Charlie Haar, a volunteer from Middlebrook Pike United Methodist Church, and I want to quickly point out that after Grady talked about pension and health care being the main villain here, going back all the way back into the 70s, that I have only had this position since annual conference of last year. So I didn't create the problem. There's a lot they don't tell you before you accept some of these jobs. I'm just going to start off with a bold statement that says we're broken a little bit in our health care, and our program is not attractive to somebody that's healthy with a healthy family. But also think about this. You have car insurance, and you hope that you never have to use it, but you still pay it. You have to have health insurance, or you should have health insurance, and you hope you never have to use it. But you know, $15,000 is a pretty good tab for something that you don't ever use. We need to bring that down, or at least maintain without going up. 80% of our pastors participate in this program. That needs to go up too. I liked what the bishop said about the symbology of the quicksand. We have to do something about the way our healthcare program is going. It's a quicksand, not only for us, but it's quicksand for the country. So this is not only our problem, but we have to act. We have to throw some ropes, and it's going to take, back to the bishop's symbology of the quicksand, it's going to take more than one rope to get this out. So we're throwing some ropes. So how do we reduce the cost to the pastors? First, Sandra has already said that we are assuming 100% apportionment this year. In the past, when we have done our projections for what your premiums need to be, we have had to do exactly what Sandra just said. We have had to guess at what was not going to come in apportionments. We've also completed a study on our reinsurance program, and we'll save some money on that. So those two acts that we've already done have allowed us to, for 2008, for the first time in, I think maybe forever, go to, as Sandra said, a zero increase in your premiums for the 2008, which we presented at annual conference this summer. I think that's a major step. We've also, we're in the process of changing the retiree health coverage. I'll cover that in a minute in more detail. As I said, we need to increase participation among the pastors. We have a reserve fund, a little over $9 million. It sounds like a lot of money, but if you look at that actuarially against future liabilities, that is not a lot of money. We are also looking at using the earnings possibly from that to leverage our healthcare costs. Now let's go to the graph, John. This is a comparison of us with the southeast region of the country. As you can see, we're a little more expensive. Back to the last reporting time, for which I believe is 2005 on that slide, we're about $2,000 a year more expensive than the average. I don't think that if that chart, once the numbers come in for 2006 and then again we finish out 2007, I think that bottom line will continue to go up on a slope just like our line goes up. But significantly, if you look at the right side of that, and this is the second rope that we're throwing out, or the third rope, is that zero increase for 2008 projected. That's a major step forward. And if we level off, then that bottom line, the way the country's going, will in fact come up to where we are. So this is a step forward for us. As a finance chair and a church leadership council chair, and now the board of pensions chair, I have learned that there is a word that is treated as one of the worst profanities that can be uttered in a Methodist church. Grady already dared to say it once. I'm going to go ahead and just blurt it out. It's change. We don't like change, but we're going to have to change, and we're going to have to change on the retiree side, and we're going to have to change on the active side. Okay, let me address the retiree health insurance. We have to look at that again from an actuarial standpoint of where we're going. Did you know that your average age is 51.2 years? Our pastor's average age across the conference is 51.2 years. If you run that actuarially out, we have a train wreck coming down the road if we don't do something about retiree health care. So we're doing something. Let me talk about the program and where we're going with that. We're going from self-insurance to Blue Cross Blue Shield, a supplement, a Medicare supplement. We're going to a Medicare D. Coverage will be the individual's responsibility. We have no changes in the dental care. Now, this is going to save our retirees, most of our retirees, money. This is going to also save the health care fund money. So it's a win-win situation. There are a few retirees on some chemo drugs and things like that that it's going to cost them more. We have put some money aside to make sure that they are taken care of. There are obstacles to this plan. The main one is, I think, the C word again. It is a change. Change is bad, and there is no accepting that change is not bad until you get into the details. And we have to get into the details with the retirees. We have meetings set up in Wetheville, Tri-Cities, Knoxville, and Chattanooga, where we'll have a speaker from the Board of Pensions that will go through the details of this with the retirees. We'll also have a pharmacist there and somebody from Blue Cross Blue Shield to talk about how to implement this. This is just the first of many efforts to fix the problem. We're going to look at some future cost savings. We will do an actuarial study in 2008 of the entire active and retired side. We have to look at pension funding and liability out there with an average age of 51.2. It can be a serious shortfall. We could raise out-of-pocket maximums. I want to emphasize right now that these are options that we're looking at. Please don't leave here and say that Charlie Harsh said all of this was going to happen. These are options that we're looking at. We're looking at redistributing the cost sharing. We are also looking at, and some conferences have this and are very happy with it, 100% mandatory 100% health care program. That would immediately fix the problem of our 80% participation. And we're also looking at direct billing. I didn't hear any moans, but. All right. Let me cover one more thing before, that's my last slide, but let me just give you a reminder that we're almost to the end of March. You got from John Hancock a piece about long-term care. If you are an active pastor, then you are eligible to sign up for this John Hancock plan before the end of April with no underwriting. That means if you have a health condition that would prevent you from getting long-term care in the future, you need to look seriously at this. Now, it'll be open underwriting after that. And we've also endorsed Genworth for open underwriting, too. All right. Thank you.